Shannon, any thoughts sort of at an intuitive theoretical level about why you think there might be synergy between anti-VEGF and immune therapy? What about perfusion? You know, the old argument about, you know, anti-angiogenics allow greater perfusion. Any other ideas about why this works?
You know, we know actually VEGF has a role in immune activity. It inhibits T cell function both directly and indirectly, and also can inhibit dendritic cell function. So if you can inhibit VEGF, you're going to allow that immune system to work better and to potentially target tumor. The combination of anti-VEGF and anti-PD-1 seems to work better than either one alone. There's some things around hypoxia too. If you can create hypoxia in the tumor, that makes it more sensitive to immune activity. So I think there's a bunch of different reasons why we think it's going to work. We're certainly very excited about the data that we've seen with lenvatinib and pembrolizumab that Vicky Makker presented. This is Keynote 146. You know, endometrial cancer has nothing, right? There's nothing FDA approved in this space aside from progesterone. So to see these kind of response rates where, you know, 40% of patients had benefit and the majority of these patients did not have MSI-high tumors. So that's a really important point. So it seems that the combination is sensitizing these tumors that we wouldn't expect to be sensitive to checkpoint alone. In the MSI-high tumors that they did have, there was certainly a higher response rate, but even in the MS-stable, it was about, you know, 36%.
What do we know about single-agent activity of lenvatinib in endometrial cancer?
It was active. I think it was about a 15% response rate.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's not unreasonable. It gave us a usual anti-VEGF signal that we've seen, similar to bevacizumab and others.
Mike, any take on these preliminary data and where you think they might be heading?
Well, I think this result is really quite exciting. As Jan said, there's nothing else in this queue essentially approved. And so this combination is interesting. And, again, if you look at the individual agents, there's clearly a synergistic effect here between the two agents. It gets back to what you asked before, Neil. And I think there is some data that trafficking of T cells in tumors is really important. You can activate them, but if they don't get to where they're supposed to, they're not going to do anything. So the question here is that what's going on here? Activation of T cells and then trafficking into the tumor. I would be shocked if this doesn't lead to approval at some point.
Matt, any comments about tolerability issues with lenvatinib? Obviously, it's used in thyroid cancer and HCC. It's used first line in HCC. Yeah. It may be tolerated better than sorafenib renal it's being used. You hear about hypertension, but not too much about quality of life alterations. Any thoughts about what happens with lenvatinib?
Yeah, I was part of the initial phase 2 study as a single agent at a much higher dose, and fatigue was a big factor there for some of these patients. And I think at the dose is at now, with a combination of relatively non-toxic pembrolizumab, this is a quite well-tolerated regimen.
I think we also should point out that this idea of combining checkpoint and anti-VEGF has played out. For example, lung cancer now, atezolizumab is used combined with chemo as well as a bevacizumab, and that triplet in lung cancer is now used pretty often. Renal cell, we've seen data with PD-1 with Bev, so it's not a new thing, I guess, Dave, to see benefit with this kind of strategy.
No, and you know, I think we're hoping that we see a way to get better benefits with the checkpoint inhibitor, especially in ovary. You know, the issue with regards to where are we going to get lenvatinib and pembro, we only have a 35% response rate, even in MSI-high tumors. So there's still plenty of opportunity there to improve upon our response rate, even in those with MSI-high.
Yeah, I mean, I think the majority of patients are going to have some kind of toxicity, and the grade 3 toxicity is very high, but I think as we get better at taking care of these patients, we can hopefully avoid some of those things. And based on these data, the FDA did grant breakthrough designation for this combination, and it is undergoing a randomized trial comparing it to, you know, standard of care chemotherapy, which is either doxorubicin or weekly paclitaxel. So it'll be very interesting to see if we have a consistent result here based on what we saw in the earlier phase studies.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special audio program developed from a satellite CME symposium held at the Society of Gynecologic Oncology 2019 annual meeting.